Byron Bay Try, the race, Saturday, May 11. Entries are now open at byronbaytry.com.au.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe. Have you subscribed, Marto, to the podcast? You get it a lot easier if you just subscribe. So
yeah, it's in my app. What do you mean? App book.
Lives it for 3 hours, has a listen back.
Yeah, listens to it again. Yeah. When it's he wants to get Kath in the mood, says, hey, listen.
Wow. You heard these blokes? No, is it under this thing, the Triple M thing? Well, if you're listening.
Triple M app.
Was that the Triple M app?
You've got it open.
Where do you find the podcast?
Where it says podcast.
Podcast.
It's super simple.
Are you saying you listen to yourself?
No, I never listen to myself.
I've listened back to the pod.
Yeah, I like to go back and hear some of my hooks and teasers, see what's coming up.
we get up so early in the morning that I get home and go, God, I remember laughing. I just forget what app. Yeah. So you get to have a second listen around. It's like a kid with a Bob the Builder DVD.
Hey, well, here's what is happening today.
Can you turn that off, Greg Mars?
Just close it. Just get rid, swipe it.
Sorry.
There you go. No, that's okay.
But I still can't get. I'm getting Mitch in the morning. Obviously, we're doing this after 9.
Yeah.
But how do we get the podcast?
We'll find the podcast for you.
Okay, later.
For other people, very simple. Just press on podcast.
Yeah,
they'd be going,
like everyone
there it is.
Else.
And plus, you're listening to it, so you found the podcast. Israel Folau may be dumped from rugby.
Well, he's got to tease Team Jesus. So he's got a big week coming up too, leading up to the celebrations.
Yeah. Also, we heard about Tiger Woods and how that relates back to rugby league, rugby union actually.
Relate back to the whole of life. If you want something bad enough,
you'll go for it.
Greg Inglis may have played his last game of rugby league.
Wow.
That's pretty surprising this morning.
Do you honestly think he's going to retire?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
I do.
Just need a week off.
I think he's in all sorts.
Yeah, he might just need a week off. When's he back driving? Maybe that's all he's... Because apparently Dane Gagai forgot to pick him up one time last week.
And that's caused all these problems.
Yeah, maybe he's going, well, that's it. If you can't even remember to pick me up and I've gone DD.
Dane's fault.
Exactly.
Blame Dane.
Blame Dane. Enjoy the catch-up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, we've been speculating this morning on Israel Folau and his tweets and Instagram yesterday that the devil has blinded many and you need to repent, and if you're a drunk and a fornicator and an adulterer. He went a bit nutso for whatever reason. We don't know why.
Even though being told that if he did that again, he'd be sacked.
It's as if he doesn't care. He's playing for Team Jesus at the moment and he's not playing for Team Waratah or Wallaby. He's going to get in trouble this morning. I don't know how big that'll be. We'll see how that goes. On the other side of the coin, well, probably the same side of the coin, Anthony Mundine. He doesn't play for any team. He represents Anthony Mundine. And he's come out on social media and gone, we don't need to vaccinate kids. It's wrong for vaccinating kids. So he's become an anti-vaxxer, which is an ignorance thing. But the simple fact is both of these men can say whatever they like. I reckon anyone can say what they like because you should be smart enough to go, hold on, you're an idiot. I don't pay attention. It happens on Facebook. It happens on Instagram. It happens on Twitter. There's idiots all over the place. They can say whatever they like. You've got to be smart enough to work it out.
I'm just a bit surprised that this boxer with the neck tattoo doesn't know a lot about science. It's hurt me greatly this morning.
It surprised you that he's not a vaccine expert.
I get freedom of speech, and I think one of the things in the 21st century in the social media platform is that people get outraged and then everyone comes after you because you're saying something that you don't. The majority doesn't want to hear. However, with Israel Folau, it went through a whole process, and he was told categorically that he was not to say that again without a consequence.
Well, so, he'll get consequences, but he can still say
it. So you don't mind that there's a consequence to that and he's still allowed to get out there and say it?
I'd like to know. Well, no one knows what went on in his mind. I said earlier this morning that he's got a week off football, which would have meant he'd gone home to see his family. He's probably been influenced and gone a bit too much hallelujah, and that's what happens. Like, the Bible's been saying this for 2,000 years, all this nonsense, and it's his little friend. It's Jesus is his little mate.
So do you genuinely believe that anyone can say anything they want, whenever they want?
I think so, yeah. I completely believe in free speech, and it's up to the individual to believe what's going on. That's how they get people into cults and stuff.
What about, you can say whatever you want, but you have to be, you know, you have to understand there could be consequences to what you say, right?
Why the consequences? This is social media. It is completely out of control, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, but just saying whatever you want can be really dangerous. Like, just
if you've got a sponsor, it's dangerous to your income. But if you're a loose unit like Mundine, everyone knows that. He's out on his own.
You've seen the tweet, have you not? If you haven't seen the tweet, I'll read it for you now.
Yeah, please.
Don't vaccine your kids, period. Don't vaccine your kids there. There's no comma after kids. Yeah. The government bully you into vaccine. So, hey, there's a man at the forefront of medicine.
But like the Americans, you believe that you have the right to say whatever you like.
Why you not? Can say whatever you want, but you have to be prepared for the consequences. You know what I mean? There's going to be consequences. You can say, you can't just ban words and ban, but you can say what you want, but I think you have to be prepared for backlash.
Okay. Shall we do this?
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
133353. You can say, according to these blokes, whatever you want.
But you'll get in trouble.
Marie of Brookfield, what do you reckon?
100%, you've got to be able to say what you want, but you have to be accountable for what you're saying. So you can't actually muzzle people. And if you've got half a brain, when you're listening to someone that's saying something ridiculous, like those two footballers, you can actually sit back and say, oh, well, no, I don't agree with you. You've got to be able to speak your mind.
Can I run this one by everybody here, the four of us? Like a driver's licence, if you go over the limit and you are held accountable by having that removed from you, should we remove Twitter for 6 months or Instagram?
Social media.
Should we be able to cut that off from Israel? That's the accountability. What about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you actually do that? He'd just start another account and off he'd go.
The other thing is, why are you listening to leaguers and boxers when they're talking about vaccines and, you know what I mean?
They're my
role models,
mate. I don't
talk to doctors about rugby. So.
I do.
Marto does. Mark of Jimboomba, what do you reckon? You can say whatever you want. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think you should be allowed to say what you want, say what you feel. There's going to be repercussions and there always will be. It's about, like the previous caller saying, taking responsibility for your actions.
See, Mark.
I have a problem with if you proscribe speech and free speech today about these subjects, what's going to be the proscription tomorrow? What won't you be allowed to say? And then in a month's time or a year's time, allowed to say then?
They're taking our rights from us little by little, and nothing.
That's right. And the government, if the government dictates what you can say, the government dictates what you can do. If you've got freedom of speech, it holds the government in check.
Good one.
Like, you know, in China, you can't type or put up images of Winnie the Pooh because of the president. What? Has a likeness to Winnie the Pooh, so he's banned all things. Yeah.
I'm going to go and look now,
okay,
you told me.
So here's my thing. I think you can have any opinion you want, but I wonder whether you should be able to say personal attacks on people.
All right, you're worried about this bullying thing, aren't you?
I do, because I think that words do hurt. And when you're actually going at people personally, that's different from having an opinion about something. Like Anthony Mundine, I don't care what he thinks about vaccinations. Right. It does not impact my life at all.
He's as important as a rugby league wife when it comes to
anti-vaccination. Free speech. We saw Egg Boy. He got to crack an egg on Fraser Anning's head, and then he got choked out by a Bevan. You know what I mean? Everybody got their say. Mm.
Yeah.
Kimberly of Belmere, what do you reckon? Can you say whatever you want?
I have to agree with the boys in terms of saying, you know, that's what gives us, you know, a free country, but you are held accountable for what you say. But, Robin, I also agree with what you're saying in terms of the when bullying. We're starting bullying, like on social media. That's, I think, an entirely different thing because that's abuse, isn't it, in a lot of ways. So, and I guess there is accountability for that as well, if you know what I mean.
But it's much harder to have a moral compass against people saying what they, you know, like personal attacks, than there is about just an opinion. If it's just an opinion, I get it. But when you're hurting people with your words...
I'm trying to get my head around what we do about the bullying sort of thing too. Well,
you know what hurts? You know what hurts more than words? Measles, rumps and rubella. So maybe tell the boxer to shut his hole and let kids get vaccinated.
Most people agreeing with the lads there, Robin Bailey, on 133353, 90% agreeing that, yeah, you should have the freedom to say anything, but there will be consequences if you
did. Did I say rumps instead of mumps?
Yes, you did.
We were all kind
rumps.
Of going,
I love a rump steak.
He means mumps, but now I'm hungry.
Hungry. Yeah, I got vaccinated. Look at what happened, guys. I'm saying all my words wrong.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Can we talk about the golf? Because I know the Masters is starting at Augusta tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we've only got four Australians, but they're all good.
They're all really good, and there's high hopes for them, but also high hopes for Tiger Woods, who hasn't won anything since 2008.
Not a major.
Not a major. So, and then previously he'd won, four of them and done exceptionally well?
Oh, no. Well, he'd won four at Augusta National, the Masters, but he'd won 14 major tournaments, which is only second only to Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, and then all that terrible stuff happened behind the scenes with his ex-wife, and he lost the plot with a golf club
pulled
and a car.
Pulled his putter out, out of his pants when it shouldn't have been. Yeah, sort of
fell on top of someone else. Anyway, his golf really has never been the same. He's had major back issues as well. So it was quite interesting when a journalist asked him this question.
He was asked today whether he needed to win the Masters or whether he wanted to win it.
Well, I don't really need to win again. I really want to.
Now, this is my question for you, Greg Martin, because you are the only one amongst us who has ever been a professional sports person.
Long time ago.
When the motivation is there for any sports club or team or individual, is it more motivating because you need it? Or is it more motivating because you want it?
Oh, God, different for everyone. But I reckon I watched this last night and he nailed it exactly. That's what I want him to say. He doesn't need it because he's got money. He's got titles in his back pocket. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he wants it because he's been coming second, third, 15th, 40th so many times over. Yeah. He wants this so much. I've been watching him lately.
It's like Tom Brady, the New England quarterback. He's won 6 Super Bowls now. He doesn't have to do it. He
doesn't
just
need
wants
them.
It.
He
except,
wants
though,
it.
Need, though, is interesting because if Tiger hasn't won for 11 years, then surely to continue to have the credibility that he is a great golfer, he needs that. He needs that.
Nah.
Why? Because if he didn't,
team,
he would have walked away.
Let's think about the Broncos tonight. I'll apply it to something close to home. They need this win, but more importantly, they want this win. See, they've got to sort that self out. If they run on the field going, we really need this, nah, they're empty words. But I am so hungry. I want this so badly.
But doesn't every team want to win?
No, not necessarily.
Really?
And no coaches will go, I think they're up. They don't know for sure until they get there. Especially teams are hard. Individuals, at least you can work out one person usually.
Did that ever happen with the Wallabies? Was there a time where, you know, they were... You guys were really down and had to win, or just you went out there because it was all about the pride?
I don't want to bore you, but there was a tour in 1990. Let me tell you about this one, okay? We'd lost the first two tests, okay, and we were called the Woeful Wallabies. And everyone, the whole of New Zealand was down. Everyone in Australia was going, who are these? These blokes are terrible. We won the third test simply because of want, not because we needed or anything. We didn't, no, you didn't need it. We just wanted. We said, we've had enough. No one had beaten New Zealand in 4 years. That's the All Blacks. 4 years. That hasn't happened since, okay? No one had beaten them. And that day we beat them, and within a year, we won the Rugby World Cup.
Is that
because
right?
We destroyed their aura on that one day in Wellington in 1990.
So in the dressing room beforehand, it was just this whole thing of we've got to...
We'd been travelling around in a frigging bus, staying at ordinary hotels for 6 weeks, getting the crap beaten out of us in New Zealand, and finally we went, no more.
And that's all because you wanted it?
That's want.
Okay, go
that's
Tiger Woods.
Put some money on Tiger.
Yeah.
Good breakfast, Triple M.
I had the news on in the background last night. Now, to the corner of my eye, I see quite a fat bloke in a wheelchair, and I think, all right, what's happened to Greg Inglis now? Turns out it was not him, but it was
a ghost hunter who verbally abused Virgin Airline staff during phone calls has avoided jail, using his complicated obesity as a reason why prison would be difficult for him.
What's There's a lot there, isn't there?
Is there? There really is.
Where
a
do
lot
we
to
unpack
it?
Complicated obesity, what is that? Two stomachs, fat in both.
What is complicated?
He was in a
Can't
wheelchair.
Can't put him on a bunk bed.
Oh, yeah. He was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He was in a wheelchair. He was he wasn't a big unit. He was a big unit. I assume he was abusing Virgin Airline staff because I reckon he's trying to book a flight and they were trying to make him pay for the 4 seats he'd need.
Yes.
This bloke's dead set crossing an aisle with that rig. He was a massive unit, but there's more to the story.
Yeah.
The paranormal investigator was sentenced to a year in jail but was immediately released on a good behaviour bond.
Let's go down that track. What is he? Mm. He's a
paranormal investigator.
So he looks, it hunts
ghosts. He's trying to catch ghosts. He's also trying to catch his breath. He's just trying to catch anything invisible, this bloke. Now, they've given him a good behaviour bond, which is fair enough. Look at the size of him. He's clearly not going to be running amok, is he? Oh. They just sent him on his way with his hula hoop ankle bracelet and said, don't do it again.
Okay. From a house down in Britain or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M's. Oh, yeah. Bogan's got on news.
down to New South Wales today, where a man and woman boarded a public Hunter Valley bus last Friday morning, and sometime into their journey, the couple began masturbating. Now, yep, you heard that right. I've heard a Friday knockoff, but Friday knock one out seems to be very different. Who knows why they did it? Phone probably ran out of battery. Got nothing else to do on the bus.
Was it hands to yourself nightmare. Under a blanket? What was it?
Well, I don't know how they started, but they did escalate, right? They then took off their clothes and engaged in other lewd acts on the bus, which had other travellers on board. Now,
why would you do that on
to
a
be fair,
bus?
A public bus near Newcastle, they probably weren't the worst on board, to
That's
be honest.
True.
The man and woman then became verbally aggressive and spat at the bus driver when he asked them to stop and get off, which is understandable. They were already getting off. Now, after being kicked off the first bus, they've tried to board a second bus, which pulled up.
Closed back on by this stage?
No.
Oh, no.
What?
Second driver refused them entry. Nanny state, right? Can't believe it. In 2019, you and your missus can't even board a bus while nude to have sex anymore. If you just let them finish, in 9 months, I could be here reading out the lovely birth notice of, I'm going to guess, Braden Jaden hyphen Caden.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
You're doing it all thanks to the Byron Bay Triathlon.
Hey, time to talk rugby league. And the biggest story of the day is Greg Inglis's. Is it his left shoulder got arthritis? Is his knee stuffed? Or is he just fat? The man who knows NRL insider, Dobbo.
Hello.
Hello, Dobbo.
How are we?
Do you remember back a few, I reckon it was January when you provided the biggest scoop of the rugby league year so far?
All the question marks at South Sydney are about their fitness. Greg Inglis, they're all saying he will not be there. I spoke to Wayne about this. He won't be there for round one or two. He's 15 kilos over his playing weight. Why do we keep on bringing up Greg Inglis's weight? Look.
Because you now have some information.
Yeah, look, I certainly do. He did play round one and he did play round two, but he hasn't played since.
So he has applied to the NRL to use a disability scooter on the field. Is that right?
Look, in all seriousness, Greg Inglis is he is battling some demons at the moment. He's got some serious injuries, long-term injuries, that all footballers have at 32 years of age. South Sydney, this week, I've spoken to Wayne about this. Wayne has said, right, Greg, he's obviously clearly unhappy. There's some other things going on off the field that
we're
not privy
to. He's left his wife. Sally's moved back up here. They had a house. Always had a house at Sandgate they were renovating.
That doesn't mean a lot because
his children have left he's not in the same city as his children. Isn't
correct.
That a problem, Robert?
That is usually a problem.
That's a problem.
For some people,
but that's an issue.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, more than that, he's on big money at South Sydney. He isn't performing. He's a competitor. I mean, this guy's achieved everything in the game.
Yeah.
And for him now, it's past him. We saw what he dished up against St. George. Like, he got schooled when he played against St. George. He's been away. Wayne Bennett has given him an ultimatum. Mate, go away for a week. So he sent him away for a week. He has not been at the club all week. He's got till Monday to make a decision.
How's he getting around without his license?
I don't know how he's getting around, but he's up at Maxwell.
Gagai gives him a lift to training, I know that.
He's up at Maxwell at the moment, where he's from, Northern New South Wales, you know, like...
Mid-North
Coast, yeah. So he's up there at the moment. He's supposedly flying back to Sydney today, and he's going to travel with a team. They play on the sunny coast against the Warriors on the weekend. He's going to travel with South Sydney. Wayne Bennett said, either way, we're making a decision.
Does Russell Crowe not like him?
I think Russell Crowe loves him. But if you've got a salary cap issue... Right, and South Sydney have got salary cap issues. They're in trouble, and your highest paid player is Greg Inglis, and also he isn't performing. What would be one way to get your salary cap under control so you can go and buy three or four young
elbow
superstars?
Elbow him out of the way and put him into an assistant coaching role.
Well, it could be, or you could retire him for injury, and you know that means it doesn't go on the cap if they've got long term injury.
If you're retired by injury, you don't go on the cap.
Gets taken off the cap.
Okay, so you literally have just got off the phone to Wayne this morning, and you asked him, is he retiring?
And he said, I don't know.
Wayne Bennett said, I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's given him, he has a choice to make, Greg Inglis, whether or not he finishes, and that's his choice. Wayne Bennett isn't going to force him either way, or he plays on. I mean, if a fit Greg Inglis you want in your side, the Souths are a chance of premiership, but he's going to make a decision. They're giving it a deadline by Monday.
Can I throw one more speculator at you?
Yeah.
Now, if Israel Folau, let's say Raylene Castle, the pirate, head of Rugby Australia, catches
Why
up with him.
And
have you ever seen her?
Seen her?
Anyway, have a closer look, go Google her. If she says, you're gone, Izzy, can't have you anymore, can you know, Land Rover hate you, Qantas hate you, all our sponsors hate you, Israel, where does he go? Could he end up at South Sydney Rabbitohs? Could he end up at the Cowboys?
I reckon he could end up at the Broncos.
What?
Yeah. You know, Gordon Tallis has been talking about management and the same manager manages, he's the same manager that manages Israel Folau. And also, he started his career here at Brisbane, and guess what? He always gave him his word he would finish his career at Brisbane, regardless.
Not too many fornicators and liars and thieves. And
well, there's plenty of Brisbane. Them up here. Yeah. I'm one of them.
So we all are, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm in real trouble after seeing that list.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Across the country earlier this week, vegans rose up with their protest. Now, somebody who knows a lot about protests and industrial action is our show's favourite unionist, and he's on the phone right now, Len McCluskey. How are you, mate?
Good morning to you. And I suppose you're all card-carrying unionist, are you?
Yep.
Are you, Marto? You're a bloody builder. You should be.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Love the unions.
Of course. And you're in the wireless union, the Marconi Media and Entertainment Arts Alliance. I tell you what, doesn't the country shake in its boots when the entertainers go on strike? Yawn.
Lynn, what do you think of the vegan protests on Monday then?
Well, hello, Robin Bailey. I've always been a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I tell you what, we're going to join the vegans, even though they're a bunch of pencil-necked, week-one, smelly, yearny students and bloody backpackers. I like it. Although I want to make this clear, I love me meat. Pork roast champion. With all the trimmings, and of course I love a piece of delicious crackling. But I have no truck with legumes, pulses or beans, by the way, if I'm trying to nourish myself. If my wife offered me that, I'd fling the plate out of her hand. But I do like the way they protest. They take over intersections, chaining themselves to vehicles and standing on railway lines or what have you, and they know how to shut it down. And that's what we will do. We'll be bloody shutting it down quick smart.
Is there any industrial action pending, Len?
There's always industrial action pending, Nick. I mean, we're not going to take this from the bloody bosses. The whole bloody horrible capitalist enterprise exploiting the worker, taking food from the mouths of the working classes, creating a divide between rich and poor. We know how to shut it down and bring the city to its knees. Unless, of course, they're going to satisfy our logger claims.
Len, it's a busy life. Now, what do you do at the end of a busy day of shutting it down, as you say?
Well, I like to shut it down. We're all out. We're off. When I get home, I've had a busy time shutting it down, so I like to open it up. I fling open the front door, open me pants, open a tin of beer, and get on with it. That's what I do, Marto.
Exactly
what we do. We shut it down, and then I open it up.
Yes. So do you rock anything at all there, Len?
I only ever rock working-class suburbs, and this week, Triple M rock Stafford. Good on you. All out. The whole suburb. Put your tools down too hot, inclement weather.
See you, Len.
Thanks, Lenny.
Ta-da!
I've got something that I have to get out of my system because it emotionally has disturbed me. Last night...
That's a big setup.
Everyone's tanks will be full at the moment. Can I just suggest you turn the sprinklers on because we are going to get some rain over the next 10 days or so. That is not what I'm here to talk about. I went out last thing last night before I went to bed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fed the dog. Then I went, still got the sprinkler on in the tank. Don't want to run out of completely out of water. Went to turn the sprinkler off. Stood in this terribly, terribly wet dog poo.
Oh, with bare feet or shoes?
Bare feet.
Oh.
Bare feet. That is, I want to pronounce that as the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. Yeah. I was in my jammies, ready to go to bed, sort the dog out, close the doors, turn the sprinkler off, and next thing I have a real problem with dog poo. Is there anything worse could happen to you? Police ringing you about your children.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's horrible too. Oh, I'm in my jammies. Can I come down, officer?
Greg of Wynnum, what's the worst thing that can happen just before you go to bed?
Yeah, guys, I was over at South Thruddy near Tipplers there.
Yeah.
And went for a shower at the end of the day after being out on the beach and whatever, and walking back past the barbecues, and the whole leg fell in the grease trap.
Oh.
Mate. Right up to the groin, mate. And it was... it was pretty festive, and, you know, so then it's like, oh, do I go back to the shower?
Yeah,
oh,
of course shower. You do. Yes. What's the other option, Greg? Just walk into the ocean, never to be seen again.
Mick of Brackenridge, what's the worst thing that can happen before you go to bed?
Oh, how you going, guys? Yeah, I'm unlucky enough to live 100 metres away from a servo, so quite often my wife will say, oh, we need bread and milk.
Oh, for the morning.
For the morning, and I'm in my pyjamas, I'm ready to go to bed, and I'm like, But then she has this neat trick that women do. They go, oh, don't worry, I'll do it. And then now I have to do it because
yeah, of course.
Mick, she'll go to bed angry.
Mick, I never know whether anyone wears pyjamas. Do you put normal clothes over the pyjamas then and then go down to the servo?
Yeah, straight over.
Yeah, me too. Oh, just a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
Your little Peter Alexander's popping out the bottom.
Elaine of Wynnum, what's the worst thing that's happened before you go to bed?
Well, I was at home one night. I'd cleaned up the kitchen, you know, done after dinner. I was getting ready, had my pyjamas on, getting ready to go to bed, and my phone went off, and I picked up the phone, and it's the nursing home where my mother has recently moved in.
Oh, no.
Tell me that they're sending her off to hospital, and I thought, oh, no, what's happened? I said, you know, well, I said, what's happened? And they said, well, actually, she's swallowed her hearing aid battery. And she's going to the local hospital.
Sorry. That's terrible. That's terrible. Yes. Was she all right?
Yeah, she was fine. They just let it take its course because they only find anything.
Yeah.
So she had
a zap on the way out.
Well, the male RN was very good at the hospital. He called her the Energizer.
The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Smoko Shout.
Question to Nick and Robin. Where do I normally go on Smoko Shout?
You go to building sites. Yeah. You go to where places blokes are working mostly.
Because they eat lots of food.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to offices, they don't eat enough. They go, oh, I don't sitting know, around. A little bit of that. Little, yeah, they're sitting on their bums. So
did
I
you
go
take
to,
brownies again yesterday?
No, I had a lot of sweets, though, from, oh, God, what is it, Hugs and Kisses, whatever it is, down at Stafford. It was beautiful stuff.
Oh, good.
And I was invited by the Fortitude Valley Police Station. Approximately 40 people work inside there. Incredible.
Do they?
Come and visit them for Smoko yesterday.
Where do they park?
Out
wherever
the back and in and around. Yeah,
that's so true. That is so true.
Because it's right near the Valley Pool and you can never find a park down there.
Oh, they got parks in there. And God, what a rock solid. And underneath too, there's a new area where they built it. Anyway, you don't need to know that. And you only need to know what I tell you, let's face it. There was a... they all wanted to be like the cops. Wonderful people.
Yes,
I know most
are.
Of the most of the contact I have with cops is combative. No, I didn't do that. Yes, you did, sir. No, well, you can get stuffed, mate. Well, you can get stuffed. Here's your fine.
Right.
Whose blood is that, Greg?
Yes. Yeah. But yesterday you go and you see them and you bring food and drink for them like I did and you're welcome with open arms. And they wanted to have a chat, but then there's this media matron.
Police media.
Oh, worried about what they'd say, Tomato. So she kept hovering. They were providing some of the best answers and then she'd lop over and they go, oh, of course I wouldn't say that. And I go, oh, come on. So I had to quiz them about a few things. And the first one was, what's the best excuse for when you pick somebody up and they try to get out of the fine?
On the way to a funeral.
Oh, do you let off for that?
Well, I did, but I said, do you really want to add to the number of people going?
Oh, no, I had a message.
I had to because they were going ridiculously quick. And I said, where are you going? Oh, we're late for a funeral. I said, look, seriously, you're late for a funeral?
There's no one going anywhere at a funeral. Funeral.
Exactly. I tried to be as polite as possible, but I figured, you know, they've got enough drama at the moment, so look, just slow down.
Oh, nice couple.
Funeral. I would have said wedding or birth.
Birth. Well, you'd probably need someone pregnant in the car with you if you were going.
Like if I was a cop and somebody said I'm going the way to a funeral. Well, hold on, there's no hurry, mate.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so then I'm always interested, what were they inspired by to join the police force in the first place? Was it a TV show or a movie?
I mean, Die Hard. It's the best Christmas movie out there.
Yeah, Die Hard.
For you too.
Yeah, or the other guys with
I don't know that one.
Other guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Righto.
Was a fan of Blue Heelers.
That's great.
Police TV shows would be Police 10-7.
What? Well, Police 10-7?
Yeah, hold on, Blue Heelers.
A lot of fans are diehard there, and now they're cops in the valley. They're definitely seeing shoeless people bleeding. So.
Yes. But Blue Heelers, who as a kid would be watching Blue Heelers? I am going to be a cop.
Well, Lisa McCune won, three gold Logies from it?
Oh, that's true.
My wife was in that.
Oh, your wife acted in Blue Heelers.
Yeah, I forget the role that she played in Blue Heelers.
It must have been as a child.
A cop
was a long time.
Yeah, she was pretty young.
Oh, right.
Yeah, victim, I believe.
Oh, that's too good. All right. So here's a warning for you from the cops. If you're walking down the road and you're thinking maybe they're treating you a little bit roughly, I ask them about what does a suspect look like sort of thing.
No, I'm not allowed to ask you ever take your handcuffs home.
Oh, yeah.
What would get your interest if you were just driving or walking down the road? What would get your interest quicker, a rat's tail or a face tat?
Oh, definitely a face tat.
Definitely a face tat.
That's good to
know. Just a warning for everyone. Yes, James Roberts, you should be fine, mate.
You know when the people with rat's tails and mullets go into court and they tuck it into the collar of their bloody tarot cash blazer? So yes. They can, yeah. I wonder if with a face tat, because they're trying to look more respectable, I wonder with a face tat if you go into court with like a face mask on, you know what I mean? A bit
would
of
that
mud
help?
Pack with cucumbers on the eyes.
Yes, it's part of the whole thing. Can I just say hello? Fabian, Chantel, Tamika, John, DC, Lisa. There were two Steves. Yana, Alex, and, of course, my favourite, Inspector Gary Watts. You say that. He could get me out of trouble one day, that man.
Really?
Who knows? And of course, this young gentleman, I said, who's the... There was the most muscular Indian guy I've ever seen in my life, policeman, and his name is...
So you've seen all the fun...
Jatinder.
Oh, God.
He's Indian Thor.
Jatinder Singh, Indian Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Righto. The Indian Thor. He was unbelievable.
So, Jatinder? He's probably cleaning up on it.
Yeah. Make sure you register your business, triplem.com.au. Marto can come see you next week. All thanks to CNL Tools, Megastore, Banyo, because you want to buy tools, not talk to one. CL Tools. Centre.com.au. Big breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.